Hello and welcome to the Elemental Entrepreneurship Podcast. The elements are a metaphor, a simple organizational system to help us understand business and ourselves as business owners. And they are the components of nature, the roots of magic, and the building blocks of life. We all have some aspects of life and business where we thrive and others that are more challenging. By looking at these things elementally, we remove shame and judgment and can discern which elements would help us bring ourselves into balance. Earth, root chakra, Capricorn, Taurus, Virgo. Earth rules the parts of business that keep us safe and secure as we do our soul work. Sustainability, finances, contracts, systems, our core values, and clarity about exactly what our medicine is and how we fit into the ecosystem are governed by Earth element. Air, heart and third eye chakra, Gemini, Libra, Aquarius. Air rules our big vision, our ultimate picture of success. It's where we connect our medicine to a mission and decide what kind of impact we want to create during our time on this planet. Water, sacral chakra, Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces. This is the realm of our emotions, and business is emotional. How we feel about people, ourselves, visibility, uncertainty, how we handle stress and disappointment, all of this and more affects how you navigate your business. Water element is where we learn to resource ourselves and expand our capacity to hold the big feelings that come with doing our work in the world. Fire, solar plexus chakra, Aries, Leo, Sagittarius. Fire is where we take our gifts, our uniqueness, and our creations, and we blaze them out into the world. All things selling, marketing, and the day-to-day actions of running our business are ruled by fire. Too much fire and we burn out. Not enough, and our business never makes it off the ground. And spirit, crown chakra. Every good gardener knows the day you plant the seed is not the day you eat the fruit. Spirit rules the faith required to keep tending your business long before you've seen a single sprout of evidence that it's growing. No matter what you believe in, spirit element is what you travel through after you leap and before you land. Life thrives when all of the elements are in balance. So do you, and so will your business. To find out your dominant element, take our quiz at intuitiveedgecoaching.com/quiz. Now let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome to the Elemental Entrepreneurship Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah. If you are new here, welcome. I'm so excited that you're here. If you're coming back, welcome back. It means so much to me that you continue to return to this show, to this podcast again and again. If you're watching on YouTube, hi, welcome. So happy to see you. If you're listening on the podcast, hello. Hope you're doing well. So excited to be along with you as you, what are you doing there? You're cleaning your house? You're driving? You're at the gym? Whatever it is that you're doing, I'm really excited to be doing it with you. So I'm going to get into today's episode. I am in just a few days turning 42, which is so crazy to me. I've just been thinking a lot about it because when I was younger, I did not think I was going to live this long for lots of reasons. Just to, you know, kind of summarize it nicely, I'll say that I felt like it was statistically improbable based on the life choices that I was making when I was young. And yet, here I am, just somehow keep living, keep aging. What a blessing. Here we are. And so I decided that I was going to write out 42 lessons in life and business that I feel are pretty valuable, that are like the things that I kind of like feel pretty sure about right now today. Who knows how I'll feel about these things at 52. They're definitely not all things that I knew at 32. So I'm going to go through this list of 42 lessons for life and business. Some of them I may explain, some of them I may just like drop them the way they are and let you take them how you feel about them. So I'm going to just get into my list. So lesson number one, leave sooner. That's it. That's the whole lesson. Leave sooner. Number two, your gut never lies. Right? Our minds can lie to us all day long. Our thoughts can lie to us. We can try to rationalize things. We can try to overthink things. But in my experience, especially because I am a sacral generator in human design, my gut never lies. My gut always knows what's up. Number three, if you are spending a ton of time trying to analyze a situation and figure out how to make that situation okay, you probably already know the answer.
You're just afraid of what you know. This is one that comes up for me, and I see it come up with clients a lot where they're trapped in, like, I don't know what to do. I just don't know. Oh, the situation's so complicated. I just don't know. Most of the time we actually do know. We just don't like what we know, right? Like, kind of ties into one and two, your gut knows. But the thing that you know is scary to you or overwhelming or will require you to make big changes. Or once you admit to yourself what you know, there's going to be work that you have to do that you're afraid of doing. And so staying in I don't know and analysis keeps you from having to make moves that are scary to make. But most of the time, when you're thinking about something over and over and going, oh, it's just so complicated and I just don't know, we usually know. Number four. I am 100% responsible for how I respond and react to every single thing that I encounter in life. That's that. Number five, sometimes other people really are in the wrong. Sometimes other people really are being assholes. Sometimes other people really are deliberately misunderstanding you, and there's nothing you can do or need to do to fix it. You can just accept it and move accordingly. Y'all, this took me so long to learn. I think that I was like incapable of thinking it wasn't me. I always felt like it was me. I always wanted it to be me. I really had to learn that what I got out of that was that if stuff was my fault, then I could fix it. And it gave me a sense of control. I also really struggled with being disappointed in people. And so I would always try to find a way to rationalize what other people were doing or how other people were speaking to me, how other people were acting, when sometimes other people really were in the wrong. Sometimes other people really were being mean. Sometimes other people really were committed to misunderstanding me, and that's what they wanted. And by being trapped in my desire to change that so that I could fix it to make myself more comfortable so that I could stay in connection with those people, I kept myself in a lot of really not great situations, right? And so back to like, I'm 100% responsible for how I respond and react to everything, but I'm not 100% responsible for what other people are doing and how they're choosing to respond and react to things. And the idea that if I just changed my behavior, or if I apologized, or if I, you know, moved differently, that I could make someone else be cool. That was a really hard one for me. So sometimes it really is other people, which leads me to number six. You can't change other people's thoughts, emotions, or behaviors. And that's a good thing. We don't really need to change other people's thoughts, emotions, or behaviors. We can just let everyone have a sovereign human experience in their own mind, even and including when other people don't like us, or when other people think we're dumb, or when other people like don't like our work. Like, that's really okay. There's a cat now interfering with recording. It's a different cat than the one that usually interferes. No, ma'am, go somewhere else. Excuse me. Thank you. And one of the life lessons should be your cat will always find a way to interfere with what you're doing. Okay. So number seven. Even when other people don't understand, your happiness is that important. I think all of these kind of like have the same undertone. It connects to number one. It connects to number two. All of these things are all connected. But for me, happiness is my primary goal. My primary goal is not, you know, a certain level of success in my business. There's not a monetary goal. My goal is to be happy. And what that means for me is like, every single day, if today were the day that I left the planet, I would be like, I had a good day and I'm happy with how I spent my time. And so sometimes that does mean we're leaving jobs, we're leaving relationships, we're starting businesses, we're pivoting, we're doing things that other people might say, like, this is crazy. But if it's the thing that we know is moving us in the direction of our happiness, it is that important, because I'm the only person who has to live in my brain. You're the only person who has to live in your brain. I want my brain to be a nice place to live. I don't want to spend all of my time stressed, angry, upset, sad, regretful, whatever those things. I don't want that. I want to spend the most of my time I possibly can enjoying my life. And so always moving in the direction of my happiness, even when other people don't understand, is the metric by which I make pretty much every decision in my life. And I haven't seen it steer many people wrong. Number eight, If something feels really exciting, but also heart in your butt scary, do it. That's all I'm going to say about that. Number 9, baby, your gut health. Took me a really long time to just come around to accepting that there are certain foods that don't make my body happy. There are certain drinks that don't make my body happy. There are certain vitamins that I need to make my body happy. And our gut is our second brain. It's controlling so much of our life, even more than we really understand. So much of our emotional reality, so much of our hormones, our sleep. We really need our gut to be functioning properly. And so, baby, your gut health. Number 10, baby, your cortisol. Baby, your cortisol. Living on adrenal fatigue and stress hormones turns out to not be a sustainable strategy. And the older I get, the more precious I am about babying my hormones. Number 11, get enough sleep. When I was young, I was team no sleep. I was team grind and hustle. I was team stay out late, get up early. I was team you'll sleep when you're dead. No longer. Get enough sleep. Number 12. Your body looks amazing today. That's all I'm going to say about that. Your body looks amazing today. That's a lesson I've learned. Doesn't matter what I think. My thoughts are frequently assholes. Your body looks amazing today. Number 13. You are the youngest and hottest you will ever be right this second. So go for it. Whatever it is, the thing that you're telling yourself, like you're too old to do, or you know, you don't look right, or you got to wait until it. No, you're the youngest and hottest you're ever going to be right now. And right now, and right now, and right now. So like seize the moment, go do the thing. Number 14, decide that you're going to become hotter or more attractive, whatever the word is that you want to use for that, every year until you die, and then live that way. I decided at, I think it was around 29, I think. I just decided that I was going to get hotter every year until I died by my own standards, not by anyone else's, just by my own, that I was not accepting the popular narrative around aging. I look at people who are ahead of me. I look at the J-Lo's of the world. I look at the Chef Babettes of the world. I am following an account called Fly Ageless. Like I love following examples of people who like, you know, started serious weightlifting in their 60s and started yoga in their 50s. And now they're in their 80s and they look amazing and they are in incredible shape and they have so much vitality and energy and their skin looks incredible. I just decided that, you know, if I'm going to keep growing up, if I'm going to keep getting older, that I am not accepting the idea of decline. And that in fact, I am going to get hotter every year until I die. And so I've been pursuing that and I feel like it's been working out because I actually feel like I'm much cuter than I was when I was 32. And definitely when I was 32, I was much cuter than I was when I was 22. If you peaked in high school, I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Number 15, spend as much time as possible doing the things you love because you never know when this will end. Period. A lot of us live like we have forever and we put things off and we waste our lives in jobs we don't love, in relationships that don't make us happy, in places where we are not fulfilled. And we tell ourselves, someday I'm going to do that thing. Someday I'm going to go back to school. Someday I'm going to start that business. Someday I'm going to whatever. And we're real lucky if we get a someday. I know a lot of people who didn't, and I'm sure you do too. So living like you have all the time in the world, not the best idea. I highly recommend we all spend as much time as possible doing the things we love. Next, spend as much time as possible with the people that you love for the same reason. We'd never know when this will end. Number 17, put your phone down. You never know when this will end. We don't need to have our phone in our hand all the time, which leads me to number 18. In fact, leave your phone at home more often. I frequently leave my phone at home and go do things. I go for walks. I go to the grocery store. I go to the movies. I go to the beach. Sure, maybe it's a little risky, potentially, but like I'm old enough, I'll say now, to have lived for like half my life without having a cell phone. And sure, there were more payphones, but now, like, if we potentially needed to ask someone if we could use their phone or go to a cafe because our car broke down and ask at the cafe if we can use the telephone because we have to call AAA. Like, if there's an emergency, we will find a way to be all right. People did it for millennia before we had cell phones. Leave your phone at home and go live in the world more often. Start with a walk around the block. Number 19, stop looking at other people's work, especially if you're comparing it to your own. This is for my creatives, for artists, for online business owners. Just unfollow, stop looking at anyone's work that you compare your work to if it makes you feel bad about yourself. Now, if there's work that you enjoy looking at because it inspires you, it lights you up, it enlivens you, right? Like, I follow a lot of visual artists and poets and people who aren't in my immediate creative medium. Because their work inspires me in other realms, that's great. But I stopped following every single other coach who, when I saw their stuff, I thought, maybe I should do that. Maybe I should do what that person's doing. Maybe I should charge like that. Maybe I should have that kind of product. I wish I wrote that copy. Anyone whose stuff makes you compare, just stop looking at it. I think about all the time, there was an interview with Lil Wayne where they asked him what music he listened to, and he said he only listens to himself. He said Lil Wayne only listens to Lil Wayne. I think that that might sound a little crazy, but is also kind of great, because if you have a particular type of mind musically, it's really hard to listen to other things without getting influenced by them. And if you want to make sure that the things that you're creating really come from yourself, the best way to do that is to take a fast from other people's input and trust that over your life, you have amassed tons and tons of input for your own creativity, and you can work with what you already have in you. Now, if you hit a point where your cup is feeling empty, go out and source inspiration. But I genuinely feel like if looking at other people's work makes you compare it to your own work, stop looking at it. Number 20, check on your friends. Tell them you love them. It hasn't been too long. It won't be weird. They'll be happy to hear from you. I don't know if you do this, but I have ADHD. So sometimes I get very like out of sight, out of mind with people, and I don't mean to. And then I'll get into a story in my head that it's been too long for me to text someone and ask how they're doing, and that it's going to be weird, and that they're going to like be mad at me that I haven't texted them for so long. And they never, ever are. So this is a reminder for myself and anyone else who needs it. Like, just text your friends, call them, tell them hi, tell them you're thinking about them. Tell them that you love them. It hasn't been too long. It won't be weird. They're going to be happy to hear from you. Which leads me to number 21. Nobody's mad at you. I spent a lot of time when I was younger thinking that people were mad at me. Most of the time they aren't. But even if they are, it's really their job to tell you. And if they want repair, you can repair it. But walking around being worried all the time that people were mad at me did not serve me and just created anxiety where I didn't need to have anxiety. It is a lot more productive and makes my brain a much happier space to be if I just assume that nobody's mad at me. And if they were, they would tell me and we would sort it out. Number 22, there are a lot of unhappy people using the internet to talk shit for entertainment. You don't have to listen to them. In fact, number 23, delete the comment. In fact, number 24, block them. Number 25, unfollow everyone who makes you feel bad or doubt yourself. In fact, number 26, unfollow everyone. Don't follow. Lead. I really feel like all of those, they go together and they're all true. There really are a lot of people who are not happy in their lives who find being mean on the internet to be a valuable source of entertainment and go around trolling and being mean and saying mean things. And it's really hard when you are creating work that you care about and sharing it in the world. It's just a hard thing to do. And people who use me being mean as sport make it harder. We don't have to keep those comments. We don't have to think about them. We don't have to give them a second glance. We can just delete them. We can block those accounts and move on. The idea of unfollowing everyone who makes you feel bad or doubt yourself, I know a lot of people who feel like unfollowing is somehow personal and somehow mean. It's not. You can really just curate your whole online experience to make you feel good. And if being happy is our primary goal, then do curate your entire online experience to make you feel good. Follow people who inspire you and make you happy. Follow like cute animal accounts. Just get rid of everything that when you scroll, it makes you feel bad. And in fact, do like Beyonce does. She's 2 million people following her and she is following zero people. You could just lead. You don't need to be a follower if you don't want to. Number 27, and this one's really important. Give less attention to what you think people think about you and more attention to how people feel when they're around you. Give less attention to what you think other people think about you and spend more time focused on how other people feel when they are around you. Cultivate a vibe. Think about how you want people to feel when they're around you. I want people to feel relaxed around me. I want people to feel inspired around me. I want people to feel comfortable around me. And so if I focus on creating the conditions within myself that when other people are around me, they feel relaxed, inspired, and comfortable, then I'm doing my job. And I don't really have to worry about what anyone else thinks about me. So first decide how you want other people to feel when they're around you, and then set about cultivating that. Number 25. Nope, I lied. That was number 27. So we're on number 28. Take the video. You don't have to post it. This is something that comes from my dance class. I tell people all the time when I say at the end of class, you can video this. There are people who are like, oh no, I'm not ready. I can't. I don't look good yet. And I like to remind them, you are allowed to take videos just for yourself. You don't have to share them. You can take videos for yourself for your reflection, for your memory, for study. So whether it's a video of yourself or a video of the moment, like if you think you're going to want to remember it and look back on it, take that video, and you also can keep it private. Same thing with photos. That's number 29. Take photos. You don't have to post them, but someday you might want to look back on certain moments and be glad that you had a picture of yourself, a picture of your friends, a picture of a sunset, so that you can remember what it was that you were experiencing. And since most of us are carrying around a camera a lot of the time, go ahead and capture those moments, even if they're just for yourself, maybe especially if they're just for yourself. Number 30, have the experience. You don't have to post it. I'm going to leave that right where it is. Just have the experience. Don't hold yourself back from having the experience. Number 31, don't get disappointed prematurely. This one is important. Disappointed, if we're feeling disappointed, that means the situation is over and we're looking back on how it went and we're feeling bad about how it went. So if the thing is actually not over yet, then it's not yet time for disappointment, right? And so sometimes we are prematurely disappointed. For my business owners, this happens in launches, right? You're in the middle of a launch and you're not getting the numbers you thought you were going to get and you start feeling disappointed. That sends out the signal that it's done, but it's not done until it's done. So just watch out for premature disappointment. Are you disappointed before you've had the conversation? Are you disappointed before you've really seen how everything is going to play out? Are you telling yourself this is over and it went badly when there's actually still moves that you can make and ways that things could turn out differently? Number 32, travel alone. Number 33, go on dates alone. Take yourself on dates. OMG. I wish I had learned that so much earlier. You are worth it. Go on nice dates, get oysters by yourself, go on dates alone, travel alone. Number 34, pursue pleasure like it's your full-time job. Back to, you never know when this will end. Pleasure is really important. Pursue it, go after it. Number 35, know when it's time to stop. And for me, it's time to stop the second it gets less pleasurable. So if I'm pursuing pleasure and I'm pursuing happiness and I've stayed in a situation for a little too long and it starts to not be peak moment anymore, it's time to go. Leave sooner. If I'm eating something and it's delicious and I start to notice that like I'm not enjoying the taste of it as much as I was in the first few bites and like the pleasure ratio is actually going down, I can stop. I'm done. Like it is not as pleasurable. If I'm having a glass of wine with a friend and one glass of wine is delightful, but I know that after the next one, I'm going to start to get a headache, I can stop at one. Just know when it's time to stop. Number 36, if you're confused, it means you're learning. If you're never confused, that means you're never encountering new information, and that's not great. This one was really helpful for me, and it's definitely one that I wish I knew sooner. Cognitive dissonance is uncomfortable, and being confused about stuff is uncomfortable. Being mentally overwhelmed by new information is uncomfortable. And so sometimes when we get confused, I see people react to this like, oh, I'm confused, and then they shut down and they want to stop. So I find it really helpful to take being confused as confirmation that you're learning new information right now. In this moment, I'm learning something new. And that's really important. I want to be doing that. And so even if I need a break, even if I need to go back over what I'm learning, even if I need to reiterate things, staying the course when I'm confused, because it means that I'm learning, is a really good thing. Number 37, it's always okay to buy another book. As you can see, if you're watching this on YouTube, this is like not even a quarter of the books in my house. It's always okay to buy another book. Number 38, write down things you're grateful for every day, especially when you're struggling to feel grateful. I do this first thing in the morning and again before I go to bed. This is a life-changing practice for me. I really committed to it in my early 30s at a terrible time in my life, and I haven't put it down for over a decade, and I just highly recommend it to everyone. Number 39, be vulnerable. Put yourself out there, share your heart, say the thing. If it doesn't go the way you want, it's okay. You'll recover. You never know when this will end. I'm going to leave that right there. Nope, I'm going to say one thing about it. So often when I'm coaching people, the thing that they're really struggling with is they know what they want to do. They know what they want to say. They know what they want to share, but they have all of this fear that it's not going to go the way they want it to go. And they are acting on the fear rather than acting on the overflow of the thing that they want to share, the excitement of the thing that they want to share. If it doesn't go the way you want it to go, you will be okay. You will recover. It will not be fatal. But if it goes well, there's going to be a huge payoff. So go for it. Number 40, don't just stay curious. Actively increase your curiosity. As you age, work to stay in childlike curiosity, in awe, in wonder. Look for ways to actively increase the things that you're curious about. Don't say, I know, as often as you think you know. Say, tell me more about that. Say, that's really interesting. I'd love to know more. Look for places where you will be confused. Try to expose yourself to new information. I feel like that keeps us mentally young. Number 41, welcome abundance in all of its forms. Money, fun, love, compliments, breezes, laughs, tears, raindrops, friendships, connections. Welcome it all. Revel in it all. Accept it all. Receive it all. All of it, all of it, all of it. And number 42, you came to Earth to have a body. Enjoy your senses. Revel in sensuality. Enjoy the experience of being yourself. This one chance you get to be yourself in your mind with your life experience in this body, it won't last. And so there you go. Those are 42 lessons for life and business that I've learned over 42 years. And if you are on my email list, I am dropping a really exciting secret surprise for my birthday. Every year I do something big for my birthday. I do a sale, I do a giveaway, I do a donation drive. I always do something special for my birthday. And this year is no different. I'm doing something that I think is really cool. And the only way you can find out what it is by being on my email list. So I'm going to put that link in the show notes, but it's just intuitiveedgecoaching.com/signup. And you can get yourself on my email list to make sure that you get all of the information about what my birthday surprise is and that you can get in on it as well. And I'll put the link for that in the show notes. Thank you so much for being here. If this was valuable to you, I would love to hear what your favorite one was. I would love to hear what your thoughts are. If you're watching this on YouTube, of course, leave a comment. If you're listening on the podcast, you can always email me at intuitiveedgecoaching@gmail.com. Please make sure if you're listening on the podcast that you leave a 5-star review. It really helps other people find the show. That's all I've got for you today. Okay, love you. Bye.
That's our episode for today. Thank you, as always, for being here and for listening to the podcast. I know there are so many things that you could be doing with your time, so many things you could be listening to. It is an honor that you choose to be here. Connect with me on Instagram @intuitiveedgecoaching. Have a great day.